Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. I am your host, Puma. We got Black Thor on the line. We're going to be talking for the next 2 hours about the latest news in sports. Got a lot of stuff to cover. How you doing, Black Thor?
Feeling good. How about you, Puma?
I'm doing good, man. Above average. Can't complain.
Okay.
Some heavy sports stories in the news. For the last week since we've been on the air, yeah, it's been some heavy stuff. The sports news are in competition with the regular news, if you ask me.
some really
scary stories. I know we're going to start off with the Ray Rice story, but to add a little levity before we start off, I'm going to add another Goon Squad rule. That you can't barbecue during the show unless you have some barbecue waiting for us after the show.
Yeah, I turned it off this time. I'm not barbecuing.
All right, man.
Yeah, plus it's a little cool out here tonight, too, so now I kind of settled down.
Okay. I know you like your barbecue, but, you know, ain't no fun if the homies can't have none, and we hear you
That's ruffling
over there.
That's true. I was trying to be quiet, too. Sorry about that.
Oh, no. No problem, man. Let me get your views, man. This Ray Rice thing, man, has blown up. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago. Give me your thoughts about this whole case blowing up.
You know, it's interesting. When this first happened, I really didn't kind of zero in on it. And I didn't really pay attention. So I got little grabs and stuff and kind of, you know, pieced stuff together a little bit, man. But I'm, you know, the last 48 hours is like, woo. And ironically, it's taken Ray Rice, what he's done, basically, you know, which, you know, we can't even conceive and think about what he's done. I mean, that horrendous act itself, but it took the Ravens organization to put the spotlight on them. And it took the NFL and really just kind of took, you know, dug them up and put the spotlight on him, because I was reading an article the other day. I can't think of the gentleman's name, but the Panthers, this is another guy with the Panthers that choked his girlfriend. It's been a couple of incidents of domestic violence that's been going on this past year, and they all seem like they've been treated with little, you know, little paintbrushes and not really dealt with. So I think this, you know, Ray Rice, this situation has really just upheaved some scars and some things that's probably been overlooked for years. And, I you know, it's funny because I try not to even go back and look at the video of him hitting her. I heard about it. I saw a little clips of after, you know, she fell down. But I can't even fathom, man. I can't fathom. I'm serious. I mean, a man that can literally just punch another woman, that's just cold-hearted deep. And I don't think when it happened, I mean, I know he got the 2-game suspension, but some reason it just seemed like they huddled around him and wanted to cuddle him and take care of him, as opposed to really trying to get to the bottom of what was going on. So it's deep. It's gonna be it's gonna be a big ding in that armory in that Ravens organization for a little while.
Okay, let me bring in Ice Water, man. We're talking about the Ray Rice incident and the latest developments from the Ray Rice incident. What's your thoughts about this, man?
Well, I mean, I'm speechless. What do you say? I mean, really, what do you say if you had the opportunity to see the video? And what you think about individuals and people that you know, and then I kind of thought about what happens if you kind of put yourself in that position as somebody that knows that person, something to that effect, along with the young lady. And it blows me away because of the fact that you hear a lot of scuttlebutt people talking about the NFL was kind of late to the party with it and whatnot, but I remind people that the NFL is going to always protect the shield. And you got to realize that. And once that video came out and it was presented, and the Ravens that reacted first, but once the video came out and everybody saw it, then I knew at that point that it was a done deal in regards to whatever was going on with Ray Rice, because they remind you very quickly that nobody's bigger than the game. And they're not going to put up with too much any issues, particularly with that type of straight violence. I mean, if anybody that saw that, it's blatant. And once that came out, it was like, you know what? It's a wrap. We don't even care. Whatever it was, what he's done in the community, we're not going to let you, if you will, pee on the shield. And that's what happens. People talk about the legalities of thinking like this is corporate America. I remind people all the time. I talked to my brother about this last night. These are associations and organizations, and they kind of make their own rules. And I think that was shown clear here with the Ray Rice incident. My biggest thing, I guess, right now is the fact that that he and his wife, because I guess they're planning to stay together, that they get what they need in regards to counseling and get their lives together, man. Because, I mean, we always talk about football and sports, but the biggest thing for me is that they get what they need to become better people if they want to stay together and get that together, because that's what it's really about for me. All of the sensationalism about this issue and whatnot is I'm kind of done with it. I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of hearing about it. You know, we need to move forward and hope let those people heal, if you will. And I know that the NFL will be taking the task, but, you know, as a journalist as well, you know, I'm about done. Let's talk about it. Let's find a solution any way we can and move forward.
Two points I want to make here. And I remember talking to Black Thor weeks ago when this first came out that I thought there was another part of the tape that we hadn't seen in our conversation, that the police or somebody had this tape that saw him hit her and that we hadn't seen this tape. I kind of feel in my heart of hearts that the NFL saw this entire thing and did not think it was going to be released. And when it was released, now it's damage control. Because when everybody else was saying this is too light of a penalty, the NFL put in another rule that said, okay, 6-game suspension for the first event and lifetime ban for the second event. The other thing that I'm really, really concerned about is Jhené Palmer. Because looking at the videotape, this is not their first rodeo. This is not the first time this has happened. And it seemed like Ray Rice spit on her at least twice. Maybe she spit back. I don't know. But this doesn't seem like this is the first incident that this happened between these two. And she's doing, her response to it is that she's at fault here. And that's scary because it falls right in the lines of the dynamics of when somebody's abused, kind of taking that it was their fault. And as the weeks go by, as Ray Rice starts feeling the financial crunch from this, that this may present a situation where this can happen again. So I'm very, very, very concerned about Jhené Palmer and her safety at this particular point. I know she's trying to put the best face forward with them two getting married. I didn't think they should have gotten married after this right away. Maybe it was to kind of show some kind of unity. Maybe attorneys, maybe people advised them to do this to show that they were okay. But I hope that this doesn't turn out to be more tragic than it is today.
No, I feel you on that. I feel you on that. I kind of, you know, I feel the same way. It's like, yeah, once he starts missing that money and he's sitting around the house, you know, that could turn to be resentful. Not a little, a lot resentful. And, I feel sorry for her. I really do, because I kind of think, you know, I look at her that the little bit I know, I think the attorneys and everybody kind of played her to marry him and put her in that position to show a sense of unity, to kind of piece it all together, to do PR move, to get it everything straight. I also believe, too, that Ray Rice lied to the Ravens and he lied to the NFL. And for my reason for believing that, this swiftness, I know the video came out, but even with John, I mean, the coach last night, he did a press conference, and they asked him, did Ray Rice mislead them? And he said, I don't want to discuss that right now. And I kind of believe that he let them, I kind of believe he let them believe that much didn't go on or whatever, you know, he didn't actually was very truthful with them, even when he met with the NFL. And what I don't understand is when you're meeting, this is one thing I will blame the NFL for, and I'm not trying to levy blame. You shouldn't have had Ray Rice and his wife sitting in front of you talking to them both at the same time. Either you want to talk to Ray or you want to talk to her separate, but you can't put them both there and dish out punishment on Ray at that point. You can't. I mean, I'm sorry. He's got to stand up. He did this act as a man. He's got to deal with it as a man. She should have not been coming to New York talking to Roger Goodell or anyone at all, for that matter. But I agree with you. I feel sorry for her, and I'm wondering, you know, what could potentially happen from this point on. I mean, a part of me admires the fact that, you know, as a woman, as a wife, she's standing up, you know, and she's trying. But that's a tough road. That's a tough road, because anytime a man strikes woman the first time, like you said, I don't think it was their first rodeo either. And if he strikes you the first time, especially with that much force, he's not that far from doing it again. He really isn't.
It looked like there was force from him, but thank God she didn't die from that blow, because it looks like her head hits the rail in the elevator that really kind of knocked her out. And thank God that, you know, people die from that. People die from not the actual hit, but hitting another object and falling out. The other thing I want to say is that if it is found out that the NFL knew about this and saw this videotape, I'm sorry, Roger Goodell has to go. He has to go.
Yeah.
It's one thing to protect the shield, Whitewater, but if he was covering this up, trying to save face, he has to go.
Well, I think, I mean, when I say cover the shield, I mean they're going to protect the league. I'm not saying if you made a mistake that he knew about it and he didn't do anything about it at that point. That's not to say he should be protected. because, like I said, no one is bigger than these organizations, and they prove that to you all the time. From we look at baseball to basketball to all of these things. So I'm not, I would guess my point is not saying that he's protected that way, but like I said, they're not going to let anybody mess up the money because the show must go on. I agree with both of you and me in that regard about being fearful for the young lady. Many times with people that don't have this type of fanfare and money and fame, it happens every day. And for one reason or another, they stay together. I guess the other thing that really bothered me, and I guess it depends on the individual, was after it took place and he started to try to drag her out of the elevator, the one thing that I found really peculiar, and I guess he really didn't care because he knocked her out, was the fact that when he was supposedly trying to take care of her, I mean, she was just kind of out there. And if you you would think if you love somebody, you would try to cover them up. I mean, everything was just out there, and he just kind of – the only thing he did was grab her shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, where's the passion? I mean, even if it happened, even if it was – and I'm not here to judge because I don't know. I'm not,
I agree.
I can't judge that because I'm not – in that moment, I don't want to judge that because I don't know. Now, I've never hit a woman, but, you know, I just say I'm thankful for that. But the point is, though, it just seems like – his passion for the woman that he was going to marry and love just went out the door.
Yeah, like he didn't care.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. But then she married him. So I think there's a lot of pressure in a number of ways. And, you know, I think all we can do is just try to hope that she has somebody or they have people in their lives that can help them make sure they're okay. Because when you take something from somebody like football, somebody's been doing all their lives, and that's all that they know. What is he? You're right. What is he going to do when he's feeling like, man, you know what? I should be playing. And then at some point, this is your fault. If you'd have been quiet, she's like, well, I was quiet. But it goes back and forth, and it's always a blame game. So, you know, if nothing else, I'm not sure how people deal with it, but definitely prayers are needed, you know, from my perspective, that there's going to be some prayers needed for the both of them, and particularly her.
Yeah. Well, Nike has severed their contract, and what the difference between severing a contract with Ray Rice, when Kobe Bryant had his incident, they didn't sever the contract. When Tiger Woods had his incident, they didn't sever the contract. They kind of let some time elapse and didn't use those particular players and then brought those players back to advertise whatever they were advertising at that particular point. This was precedent because Nike severed the contract with Ray Rice. That means it's done. They are not doing business with this guy anymore. And I also read that the Madden NFL 15 has taken him off the roster. So, I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse as this story keeps going. You're going to have the groups talking. You have attorneys talking on television. I mean, this is kind of overshadowed the regular news, this sports story, which has turned into a story dealing with domestic violence and the need to address domestic violent behavior, and not only just sports, but all over. And it may be the catalyst to put this on the national stage to what do we do about this? We have sports figures doing this, but what about the everyday women that are being abused, and also men that are being abused in domestic violence too. So it's just not a situation where women are being beaten. It's men that are being beaten, the elderly, children. It's all domestic violence, folks. So this is going to be a big story. I don't want to kind of just have this whole show about this. I just wanted to get everybody's views on this. You guys have any more views on the stories or any more parting shots?
No, I'm kind of, I think I kind of said everything that kind of covered how I felt about it. Yeah. Like you said, I don't think it's going to go away for a while. I think it's going to kind of be there. And to piggyback on your point about Roger Goodell, if it's proven that he knew he knew or saw the video, and only gave him 2 games, then it's going to be some calling for his head without a doubt. Yeah, that's going to – I can see that happening. But hopefully, I just would have said they surround themselves with some people, some folks that really can help them and guide them in the right direction. But that's going to be a tough road. That's going to, on both sides, for him and her, that's going to be a tough road. Very tough road.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the brighter side of the NFL. You guys saw the games this week. I have to admit, I had a little chuckle about the Cowboys, but they said he even laughs first, laughs last, and seeing the Giants last night, I had to stop laughing. wow! Give me your. Let's go to Icewater. Give me your eye test from the NFL last week.
Well, it was a lot of craziness, and certain teams, they are who we thought they were. Dallas. Anyway. I'm just starting like it is. I mean, you know, I think I heard every excuse known to man about why Tony Romo threw those interceptions or he made a mistake. Well, he's not like he was before. It just doesn't seem right. So what does that have to do with him throwing interceptions in the end zone and when it's crucial, making crucial mistakes when the Cowboys need him to step up? I was like, really? Here we go again. Well, just doesn't seem right. Maybe he's not the right. He's the guy he was before, and all this other crap. Anyway, that situation and the poor Giants, man. Woo. They need to go back to that offense because Eli, man, he's like he's just throwing the ball up in the air. I mean, it's like it's really sad because I know he's buried that. Plus, I got Rashad Jennings in one of my fantasy leagues, so I'm like, Rashad, we need some. It was, I will say the first week was very entertaining. It was very entertaining in a couple of games. I mean, that New Orleans Atlanta game was.
Yeah.
That was fire. I was able to watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of good games. But I think, you know, overall, it was a good opening act, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Doctor, what'd you see? What's the game that stood out to you?
You know, it's amazing. Like you said, some of the teams we thought they were, who we think they are. I mean, look at Chicago. I mean, all that talent, all that talent. And Jay Cutler. I mean, it's funny because Romo gets a lot of flack, but Jay Cutler comes back every year, and he's Jay Cutler every single year. He finds a way to just those dumb passes. He looks for Marshall all the time when the game gets tight. It's the same old thing. And I love his response at the end of the game. You know, it's just the first game. You know, you guys don't know what's going on. We know what's going on. Huh? Okay.
No, you don't know what's going on.
Exactly, man. But what I find is amazing about him, Chicago gave him money. What? I'm not sure. I mean, that's one thing about these NFL teams that bothers me just a little bit. You're starting to reward some of these knuckleheads for doing what you think they may do. Not looking at what they have done and haven't earned it, you're giving them money thinking, okay, they're going to turn a corner, and they haven't turned it. Case in point, he can bring up Tony Romo. I mean, Jerry Jones dropped that big contract on him, and Tony Romo has been Tony Romo all the time, all day long. To me, he's a half Brett Favre wannabe, always looking to sling something and make something out of nothing. And Eli Manning, I honestly believe, I know it sounds like it's conspiracy theory, but I think the ownership of the Giants want Eli to just self-destruct before they let him go. Because there's no way, when you think about what they did to him in the offseason, they allow him not to even pass the ball. Not even pass the ball. Kept saying all practice good. And then on Monday night, you throw him out there and allow him to look that bad. I mean, he's actually scared. There was a couple of plays last night. When he hiked the ball, he thinks the rush. He don't even see the rush. He thinks the rush is coming, and he turns his back and just throws. I mean, that's not a quarterback for any NFL team. So I honestly believe they have a plan in their head where they're just trying to be kind of slowly push him out the door. Because you got to think, the guy that brought him in, the general manager that brought him in years ago, is long gone. Long gone. So they don't have that love that they had for him years ago. And they're on IC. They see what it, Because this play that Eli's playing now, he's been doing this for the last 3 years. But because he won Super Bowls, everybody kept giving him a pass. Oh, you're finally getting tired of giving him a pass and saying, wait a minute, he's not getting any better. He's not progressing. I mean, he's going back worse. So I couldn't even watch much of that game last night. I found myself doing other things around the house, doing this, doing anything, because it was horrible. And I thought our defense came out and played well. But getting off the Giants, man, Seattle, I'm going to tell you, that team right there, Pete Carroll has that motor running strong. And those guys, and it's funny because they don't do a lot of things great. They just do a lot of things good. They kind of remind me a little bit of San Antonio. They do a lot of basic fundamental things good, and they take advantage of the mistakes that you make, and they just pound you to death, man. It's going to be tough. I mean, I hate to kind of say they're going to repeat, but if San Fran can't come up to them or Arizona, I don't see anyone else in the NFL going to be able to match. And even if New England, I don't know if they're going to get there on the AFC side, New England or Denver makes it to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a repeatable performance. But the first week before, I thought the football was really good. I mean, I swear to say, that Atlanta game was really, really good. Cleveland-Pittsburgh game, I paid attention to that a little bit. I mean, it started off, you know, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland made it more of a game. So a lot of games have some competitiveness. And that's really, even though I'm a Giants fan, anytime I turn on an NFL game, I just want to be competitive. Just be competitive. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Don't give me a game where, you know, a team is laying down and another team is beating the, you know, stink out of them. Give me a competitive game. You guys are pros. And that sense, most of them were competitive. So it was a good week, a very good week of football.
Yeah, thinking about the Giants, and here's my proposal for the Giants. I really want Eli and Coughlin gone. But I want to see, because they have a new offense. If you have a new offense, you need a new coach. Just get a new coach. But I'm going to hold out until four games in the season. If they have a losing record in the first four games of the season, Coughlin has to be put out of here. Then I'll give them four more games. If they go at least 2-2, I'll give them four more games to see if they have a winning record at the midpoint of the season. But Giants ownership has to pull the trigger on Coughlin and Eli. They have to.
Yeah.
It is overdue that they have to pull the trigger on you guys. The Dallas game was really funny to me because Dallas just picked up right where they left off. And that's what made it so funny. It's like no improvements, and they're going to be hurting on defense. So I think you're going to see Michael Sanders pretty soon, sooner than you think. Because they're going to be hurting on defense. They just looked, maybe it was San Francisco being, and I didn't think San Francisco really kind of, the difference between San Francisco and Seattle will put you to bed. San Francisco will let you kind of linger around a little bit. They don't have the defense that they used to have. And so it seems like San Francisco needs that killer instinct to put teams away when they have a chance to. I did not see that also with the Denver game. Denver's going to breeze through, like I said in earlier shows, I think Denver's going to breeze through the regular season, but I don't believe in that defense. I don't believe you score that many points and then you let a team, and I think Indiana's pretty good. Indiana almost coming back and really tying that game. So I'm not a believer that Denver has what it takes to win a Super Bowl. I think they'll get very far in the playoffs, but they won't win one. Super Bowl. Atlanta, I thought that was a great game, a great comeback. I text Icewater during the game about the Bears, and I said the Bears are who we thought they were. Until they get a defense, they're not going anywhere. I don't believe in Jay Cutler. I'm sorry. Jay Cutler is not the franchise quarterback everybody thinks he is. It just seems like when in the preseason he looks good. When you're not playing full speed, he looks good. But when you put the game on speed, Jay Cutler he can't compete. And they should have taken note when Denver was ready to get rid of him when they had him. They figured it out very early that this guy is not the guy. I don't know what's going on with Pittsburgh. I'm really suspect in seeing whether they'll be able to produce. Of course, I'm not talking about the Raiders anymore, ever. You saw what they did. You saw what happened. Little Bonnet in Detroit. Huh?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. I said the Raiders played better early on than I thought they would play. I'm going to say I think they might have a decent season. I'm not ready to write them off yet.
Okay. Good luck. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Been there. I feel like we're like in any kind of substance abuse anonymous kind of group. I've been there. I've seen this, Mark. I've seen this.
Yeah, it is the same script. I'm going to throw this out real quick because I watched this Sunday night. I watched him Sunday night. And I hate to kind of use this word, but I'm starting to believe Andrew Luck is slightly overrated. And I say that because he finds himself in a lot of games where he has to fight to come back in the fourth quarter and win. And a lot of times when that happens, the defense aren't playing their tough defense anymore. They're a little relaxed. So they're going to allow you sometimes. Some teams will take their foot off their pedal. They'll allow you to come back in. But if you really just watch him play, I don't think he lives up to the fanfare, at least not yet. And it's funny because when he makes mistakes, he doesn't get called out on it. It's no big deal. But RG3 does some of the same things, they're ready to bring their next quarterback in. They're ready to pull up. They're ready to pull Cousins off the bench and stick him in. But Andrew Luck, I watch him play, and I'm never amazed. I look, I'm like, okay, he comes back in the fourth. Well, he should. He's down by 21 points. So he should try to come back a little bit. So I think he's a little overrated, but nobody really wants to say that yet. They're waiting for him to turn that corner and be what we all think he's going to be. But when I watch him play, I just don't see it. I'm sorry.
Any surprises this week?
Surprises. I guess the biggest surprise was I was surprised the way that Carolina played without Cam Newton and the way that the Tampa Bay defense did not respond. I was blown away by that because I just thought the way the Lovie Smith would come in, kind of get these guys going, and maybe it's the first week. I was blown away by that. The other part, I was somewhat surprised by the way that Cleveland played, because I thought maybe it was Pittsburgh having a late hangover or something, but I was surprised that Cleveland was able to come back the way that they did. That kind of blew me away. I think, too, that it's just so crazy because you don't know what's going to happen. In regards to that Indianapolis situation with Andrew Luck, I kind of concur, you know, with that as well. I think that they want him to be like the next Peyton Manning, but they're able to get away with it and not really put too much pressure on him because they're going to say he doesn't have the receivers, he doesn't have the running back. So there's a lot of other things that are going on, and I think that's why he gets a pass. And I'll just say this. We've been talking real quick about Tony Romo. We've been talking about Cutler. The difference between Cutler and Romo in Dallas and Chicago is the fact that, even as you mentioned, I mentioned that, you know, I thought Chicago might be able to do a little something that they step up offensively. The as far as the Bears go, the expectations only go so far.
Uh-huh.
But every year Dallas gets a pass as if they're going to finish in the top six of the NFL. That to me is the difference. And if they put them in the same regard that they do the Bears, then I would kind of say, all right, okay, I might even give Tony Romo a break. But they're clearly not as good, nowhere near what people think they are. And just as a fan of that team, it just wears down on you because you're like, man, I know this is the team I'm rooting for, but how can I get more excited? They'll be lucky to win seven games.
It always boggles my mind why when the running game is working for Dallas, they go away from it. Every time the running game is working, then it seems like Romo gets happy and says, you know, let me get a little bit of this, and he just comes out swinging, and that's when he gets in trouble. I never understand it. I don't understand. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind. Wow. Yeah. The surprise to me was New England against Miami.
I'm happy with that surprise, man, because finally, maybe, just maybe, that division will get a little tough in New England. That one is surprising, but I'm happy with it because I was going to turn to that game, but usually every year Miami plays them tough, and in the last 5 minutes, Brady pulls it out. I didn't want to see that anymore. But I was happy. When I saw the final score, I was elated, man, because I just want New England to go away. Just go away. Seriously. Let them go away. Not make the playoffs. Just go away. Not every year we have to see them in the playoffs every year. I'm tired of it. Enough is enough. And it's not that they're not a good team, but a lot of it is due to they play in a weak division, so they're guaranteed to come out with 6 wins every single year. And then their schedule sometimes is not that strong either, so just time for them to go away. Let them go away, please.
That sounds like a
yeah,
man hurting.
Yeah.
Man, I'm used to hurting a long time.
I'm sorry, say that again?
No, I said it sounds like a man has been hurting a long time when you said that.
Nah.
Let them go away.
No, I'm a Giants fan, so I love what we did to them in the Super Bowl. But my point is, if you look at their schedule every year and how they run through their schedule with a bunch of cupcake teams they play, and then they play, even the year they won a lot of games, that year the Giants win the Super Bowl, they only have like 3 or 4 tough teams they played that year. They were going 16-0. Who do they play? They feast on these teams that aren't good. And here again, it's not their fault when the AFC is really weak. But that's why every time they stick their head up when it comes to playoffs, because the AFC is so weak. Look at Kansas City this week. I thought they were going to come out and take care of Tennessee, and they go out there and lay an egg. Serious egg. Mm-hmm. I mean, the AFC itself is just weak. There really aren't a lot of good teams over there. I can't think of one strong division in the AFC. Not one.
Right. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, listen. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say, I can see that. I agree with that. I guess the thing, too, though, is when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady and then you have a few weapons, then they're able to do what they need to do to get over, as you say. They can get by because when you bring by Gronkowski and the running backs by committee, they can get away with it. For instance, we've been waiting on Miami for years to kind of step up and show that they have the swagger to kind of defeat New England. Interesting that they won that game. I mean, Buffalo for years has been right on the cusp. We talked about that before earlier, that they always find a way to lead early, and then they find a way to lose at the end. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But we know as long as Brady's around and the way that these teams, until they step up and kind of break the glass, you know, Brady and those guys are still going to be able to do what they're doing until – it's kind of like this. Kind of sometimes, Thor kind of reminds me of the way that Pittsburgh had the ability to just kind of keep the Houston Oilers down. They had all that talent back in the day with Bum Phillips. And they said, first time we knocked on the door, next time we're gonna kick the SOB in, and they never were able to do it. They were never able to do it. And in the same way that you said that, I'm like, man, I was so rooting so well for Houston, and that never happened. And I was like, man, can Earl Campbell just get close to the Super Bowl? You would love to see somebody like that play, but it never happened. So I feel your pain, or I understand what you're saying in regards to the New England effect. I felt the same way about the Houston Oilers back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a little break. We're going to come back and make our picks for this week. I went with Chicago. I thought they would win their home opener. That's it. I'm not going with Chicago for the rest of the year. I'm not picking them. Unless they play a real cupcake or a team that's really beaten down, I'm done with them. Because it seems like every time I pick Chicago, they let me down. Now I know how a Bear fan feels every week. Let's take a break, and we'll come right back. back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We got Puma, Thor, and Ice Water here. Follow us on Twitter at Goon Squad Sports, or follow us on Facebook at the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Now, we did we didn't do any bets or anything like that, but we took the teams that we thought that were going to win last week. It looks like an NFL division because we got Black Thor with an 11-5 record so far. Coming up, Ice Water coming up with the 10-6 record. And I'm at the wild card if I get in the playoffs at 9-7. Okay? I gave Django 0-16, but I'm like, he wasn't here. I don't think he's going to be here this week. Well, I gave him 8-8 just to, you know, make it, you know, he's in the talent. So it looks like I won't be getting a hot cup of nothing at the end of the year so far. It's only the first week.
It's a long season.
We got 15 more games to go. 9-7.
Oh.
All right. I went out on a limb with the Green Bay pick, you know, against Seattle. Seattle just dismantled Green Bay. Oh, my God. Green Bay, I think, is a good team, but they're just not as good as Seattle. So who wants to go first? Ice Water, do you want to go first with your picks this week? Or do you guys want me to pick my pick? So you want to go first?
You go first, and then we'll let the champion go after that, and I'll go last.
I'm sorry. Black Thor, since you won last week, you should go first.
You know what? I'm gonna take that. You know, I earned it. I think I will go first.
Yeah, you earned it.
Yeah, I earned it. Okay. All right. I'm gonna keep it rolling this week. Keep it rolling. You know, looking at the Steelers in Baltimore Thursday night. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Steelers with this one. I wasn't, even though Baltimore kind of fought back last week, I really wasn't impressed. Joe Flacco played well and earned that big contract. He should get some of that money back because last year and last week he's not looking that good. He's just not. I don't see it. I kind of believe they're gonna rely a little more on the run. Steelers aren't what they used to be, but they still have enough to take Baltimore down. So I'll go with Pittsburgh with that one. Miami and Buffalo. That's gonna be a game. That's really gonna be a game. If it was in Miami, I think I might would lean a little bit more towards Miami, but they're coming and they're traveling to Buffalo. Yeah, I think Buffalo, I'm going to be waiting for him with something good, so I'm going to take Buffalo on that one. This, I think, is going to be a very good game. I'm going to pay attention to it. Atlanta at Cincinnati. That's going to be a good one. Yeah, I think that's going to be a very good game because Atlanta played well, but at home, Matt Ryan tends to play well anyway. So I want to see how they travel. Even I think the offense is better this year, but I want to see how they travel. But I think Cincinnati, I think they're going to pull that one out, so I go with Cincinnati.
So you're rolling with Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Cincinnati. Yep, I'm going to take Cincinnati. Now, New Orleans and Cleveland, that's another interesting game. Even though I don't think Cleveland offense is nothing to really write home about, but New Orleans kind of surprising. A lot of times they leave the dome in New Orleans, and they don't play that well. But they took it to Atlanta. They really did give it to Atlanta. So I'm going to take New Orleans in this one. Cleveland offense is not there yet. Their defense isn't bad, but any defense, you make them play four quarters, a lot of time on the field, you're going to start to get wore down a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Orleans against Cleveland. Dallas and Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee. Yeah, that game is in Tennessee. Tennessee looked a little better last week. I think that new coach, that offense clicking just a little bit. The defense a little stronger. Yeah, you can count on Tony Romo throwing two interceptions. I'm going to go with Tennessee with that one.
That's hate.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I predict, man. He's going to throw two. Tony's good for two. He can give me two now. He's going to give me two. You can almost count on it. New England and Minnesota is another good game. That's another very good game. I think New England's going to try to bounce back, but they're going to Minnesota. They're going to get fed a big dose of Adrian Peterson. He's going. I'm going to take the Vikings in this one. And New England's going to be 0-2 for the first time in a long time. But yeah, I think the Vikings will take that one. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Arizona and the Giants, you know, I'm going to take Arizona. The Giants aren't ready yet. We're not even close to being ready. We're not close. And I think, you know, Carson played very well last night. I mean, he played very well. I think he's going to get even better as the season go on. You can say what you want. Eli has no idea what he's doing. He's lost. And the offensive line is not that good either. It might be a close game, but Arizona, I'm going to take Arizona. Jacksonville and Washington, that's the game that kind of intrigues me a little bit because Redskins don't look good. Jacksonville started out good, but it's in Washington. I can't bet on with Jacksonville. I can't take them. I just can't. So I'm going to close my eyes on this one and take Washington. Detroit, Carolina. Okay. Carolina has a good defense, and they play like I scored a set. I was surprised they went to Tampa Bay and played good as well as they did without Cam Newton. Cam should be back for this one, so it makes it interesting. But that Detroit offense, I mean, they just keep coming at you. Bang, 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 bang. And I think they're going to have more than enough. And the point I want to make about Detroit, I watched the game last night. Their coach, I like the fact when some bonehead plays were made, when the player came off the field, he got in their face. So eventually they're going to stop making these bonehead plays. And last year with the other coach, he never did that. He got right up in their mug like, what's going on? And I like that. That I like. And I think that he's going to get that team clicking. I'm going to go Detroit with that game. Seattle and San Diego? Seattle.
You're going to take Carolina. I'm sorry. You're going to take Carolina or Detroit?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going with Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to Detroit. Yeah, I'm going to take Detroit. And even though Carolina, I think they're going to play well at home, but I think Detroit's going to have too much firepower. Seattle, San Diego? That's easy. Hey, Seattle. Yeah, they're traveling. Yeah, that's that defense when they come in, Phillip Rivers, it's gonna be tough. He'll start out nice just like Rodgers did, but by the third or fourth quarter, yeah, it's gonna be lights out. Here's where Tampa Bay gets their first win. St. Louis was coming to Tampa Bay, and I believe Tampa Bay pulled that one out. I feel sorry for St. Louis. I mean, I never thought they should have drafted that quarterback Bradford in the first place, but yeah, I feel sorry. That team, at some point, those players have to start to, you know, feel like the season is lost and they're going to start throwing the towel in just a little bit. I don't know if it's going to be this week, but at some point, it's going to start to happen. This game will be tight for Tampa Bay. Should probably pull this one out. Kansas City at Denver. Yeah, Denver, not even a question. Kansas City's not ready. I think they signed. I know they wanted to get him signed, but I think they signed their quarterback a little too early. They should let him play at least 5-6 games, show you what he has, as opposed to rush to sign him. As I'm going with Denver, the Jets at Green Bay. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers will bounce back at home against the Jets defense. Green Bay, I think Green Bay in that one. And this is the upset of the week, Houston at Oakland. This is upset of the week.
I know who I'm going to pick in this game. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you're picking Oakland.
I got to go with Houston. Oakland, I got to go. Yeah, even though they're at home, I think Houston showed me a little bit something. They showed me a little bit Sunday. They showed me a little bit. I mean, they aired it out a little bit. I mean, they passed it well. Yeah, they showed me a little something. And their defense is still pretty good.
Even with Clowney out, because he's out for 4 to 6 weeks now.
Yeah, even with Clowney out, yeah. I know, yeah, even when he's out, I still think that defense is enough to handle Oakland, which is a tough break for him. That's sad. Young man, before he gets started, if you figure when he comes back, it's going to take him a little while to get back up to speed. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Texans in that one. Yeah, I'll roll with that. And Chicago at San Fran. You know, San Fran is at home, new stadium. The defense is not what it used to be, but it's definitely going to do enough. They're going to do enough to scare the daylights out of Cutler. So I'm going to go with San Fran with that one. Philadelphia at Indianapolis. Indy is at home. I'm going to take Philly with this one. I think for some reason, I think Philly kind of just woke up against Jacksonville and decided he want to start doing some things. And I think the second week you'll see a little better performance by them. So I'm going to go Philly against Indianapolis, taking down the Colts.
Okay. Okay, ice water. If you got a 10-6 record, better than my 9-7 record, you get to go next.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Real quick, let's get to the business. Pittsburgh over Baltimore. I just think Pittsburgh is showing that they're trying to shore up their defense. Got the youngster Ryan Shazier, a linebacker, looked pretty good this week. And they let the allegedly pot-smoking the guys on the field still. And until they suspend them at the running back, I think they're going to still do what they do. And Big Ben is still able to get the ball, move the ball around. So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh over Baltimore. Miami and Buffalo, wow. I mean, it's kind of up in the air with this one. Miami actually will get the win over New England. I want to give Buffalo some love, but I'm just a little nervous about it just yet. I mean, I know that they have the defense, Mario Williams, and okay. I'm just scared with Sammy Watkins being beat up and things like that, but they still got the running backs as well. So, wow, on a limb, wow, it's crazy. I want to go with Miami.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to choose Miami. The quarterback's showing a little bit. I think they're going to be a little bit fired up. Got a little running game down there with no Sean Moreno trying to get some things going. So, if Buffalo, unless they come out ready, I'm not sure if the quarterback in Buffalo is going to be ready for Miami. They got a little, they're feeling pretty good since they beat New England. So, that's going to be my first upset. Atlanta.
You don't think they'll let down? You don't think they'll let down after a big win against New England? You don't think they have the let down after New England?
No, I think they could, but I also think they, and it's 50-50 because they could be hyped up because of the fact that they beat New England. And it might be real confident the fact that they're going to Buffalo. So, man, we got to win this. We beat Brady. We got to go ahead and move forward. So I'm 50-50 split, but I just think Miami's going to probably get it done. And watch what, as soon as I say that, Sammy Watkins will catch 8 touchdowns. But anyway, what can you do? Yeah.
Okay.
But so I'll go with Miami. Atlanta, Cincinnati. This, you're gonna say, wow, you're killing me in the state of Ohio, right here. But I'm gonna go with Atlanta. I mean, I like Cincinnati. Ooh. I think Cincinnati has a lot of weapons. They're playing pretty good on defense. But Atlanta was in the trenches last week against New Orleans, and I've always said it. I said this before. You put Julio Jones, Roddy White. And if they ever get some type of running game together, Matt Ryan is on fire when he has those guys in the lineup. And the question is, can Andy Dalton hang on and battle with Matt Ryan? I think it's going to be a really fast-paced game. There's going to be a lot of points scored. And just like last week, Atlanta was able to outscore New Orleans. I think they'll do the same thing in Cincinnati. Especially as long as everybody stays healthy. So I'm going to choose Atlanta.
Okay.
New Orleans and Cleveland. Thank goodness Johnny Manziel didn't play last week. I told you that. They need to keep him on the bench for another 5 weeks. I told you.
Okay.
He had no business in that game. So I'm glad about that. But I'm going to choose New Orleans. I think they're really salty that they lost to Atlanta. They were right in the mix. And Drew Brees does not want to be 0-2. So I think they will. I think Cleveland will hang around because they have a solid defense. But I think Drew Brees, even though he struggles on the road, I think they'll have enough this week. They'll be a lot more focused and trying to. They might just squeak the game out, but they'll find a way to win against Cleveland. Dallas and Tennessee. Wow, really? Anyway, this is just so horrible because it's like, okay, what do I do here? I mean, I want to pick the Cowboys because they have the offensive weapons, but the defense has been horrible. And how can you really feel comfortable with them, Black Thor mentioned, about them not continuing to get the ball to the running back when the running back was clearly the best thing going because Tony Romo clearly wasn't, and the defense struggled. So, wow. Can I come back to that one?
Yeah, you can answer that one.
I know
it's a hard decision for you. I know.
Well, you know what? I looked at Tennessee and their roster and whatnot, too, and running back. So I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to choose Dallas. Dallas over Tennessee. No, you didn't, because I didn't choose them last week.
Yeah.
You didn't know it.
I knew you were not going to choose them against the 49ers, but
yeah,
Tennessee,
yeah.
That's a layup. That should be a layup.
Yeah, there's no layup. Come on now. When it comes to Dallas, there's no layup. Let's keep that real. I told you, Kevin
Nash. I said a layup. It's off the back way. It can go off the rim. It's a layup. It's not a high percentage of the slam dunk, but, yeah.
Let me say this. But, you know, people still miss dunks, too, because if you don't finish, it don't matter how pretty you are in the move. Anyway, we're going to move forward.
Yeah.
New England here is Minnesota. Minnesota seems like they're trying to come around. They got a couple new guys on the offensive end. Defense coming around, too. But Tom Brady's not feeling that 0-2, bro. He's feeling that.
Oh.
I don't care if he had to have – if he had to put me out there, he'll scream at me, tell me what route to run. Tom Brady's not losing that 0-2. I'm just saying. If he had to get out there and if Gronkowski's available to play again, I think he's going to do whatever he has to do because he's not feeling that 0-2 at Minnesota. So I'm going to go with New England. That's all I can just tell you. Brady's going to try to get it done. Arizona, the Giants burnt me last week. I didn't see what I need to see out of Eli or really anybody else. Although, I take that back, the secondary at times with Roll and those guys did show a little bit at times, but and then also the linebacker core. But I think Arizona is going to win because they just kind of showed it that their defense is coming on. So I'm going to choose Arizona over the Giants. Jacksonville and Washington, wow, that's ugly. Jacksonville found a way. Even though they had the best receiver out with Cecil Shorts III out, they still found a way to kind of bring in some new guys and get some things done. So they look pretty good, but I'm not sure if they can beat. Washington needs to wake up, and I think they might wake up this week. So I'm going to go with the Redskins.
Okay.
Detroit and Carolina. Carolina pulled a rabbit out of their hat, even without RG3. But Detroit kind of showed me something because in their first win, I thought it was kind of up in the air. I didn't know whether or not they were going to come through, and they did. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. New coach, as Black Thor mentioned, hopefully they will reduce their turnovers and their mistakes. But they look like they got a chip on their shoulder now, but we'll just find out whether or not they will continue moving forward. So Detroit over Carolina. Seattle and San Diego, I mean, Seattle beat me up on my Green Bay pick last week. I was talking about revenge.
Oh, man.
You can get
talk
rid of
about.
That. But they beat me up. But I thought I would take a chance. I'm not taking a chance this week. Seattle, when do you talk about San Diego? I'm just going to go Seattle. St. Louis, Tampa Bay. St. Louis defense I thought would be strong. I think they struggled to even stop anybody. And Tampa Bay at least did look somewhat decent on offense, and they do have weapons. McCown had a decent day. They do have some weapons, and I'm not sure. Seems like St. Louis has just lost all across the board, definitely on offense. So I want to take Tampa Bay over St. Louis. Kansas City and Denver. Denver over Kansas City. Kansas City is just Alex Smith. I don't know what's going on over there. It was just all I saw was just ugliness over there, and I don't think they have anywhere near the personnel right now, particularly with Bo out, to even hang with Denver. And that's the only way they could do it because I don't think they could stop them defensively. So it had to be a track meet, and they don't have the pieces, so we're going to go with Denver. Jets in Green Bay. Geno's looking pretty good for the Jets, but, I think Aaron Rodgers is a little ticked off. Getting beat down like he did in Seattle, no matter what he did, they just kind of jumped on him. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is not having that drama. So I think them overall, the team, the Packers are all trying to come back, and they'll win that game. Houston and Oakland, I'm not even going to say anything. Oakland came out, scored that first touchdown. Everybody excited. People were jumping up and down. And then I saw I think it was off with Maurice Jones-Drew when he drop kicked the football, and it was just some drama and craziness going on. I got to choose Houston because I think even without Clowney, that Watt was on fire. Watt is a madman right now, and they found some offensive weapons with the
He wants to earn his money. He wants to earn his money,
Exactly. You have weapons over there with wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins as well, along with we saw Mr. Foster even showed that he wanted to play a little football last week.
So we'll go with
Houston, Chicago, and San Francisco. Yeah, I know you're going to tell me about Chicago and what I said about them. Yeah, I know you're going to say that. And they do have the weapons. I don't care what you say. They had a weapon.
Don't do it, Lamont.
Now, look. You know, like they said, shame me once, shame on you. Shame me twice, shame on me. So,
Chicago has a lot of weapons, and they're doing it.
I know you're in Chicago. But when all said and done, it comes down to the Bears losing to the 49ers.
I like that.
That was nice.
So the Bears will take that L and San Francisco. And finally, Indianapolis, up and down. I think they really got hyped up because they're playing Denver. And I think a lot of the guys that played with Peyton Manning took that personal last week. But Philadelphia, when they woke up in the second half, and, man, they were on fire. And I'm not sure. I don't think Indianapolis has nowhere near, especially, but I think Mathis is out for the year already.
He's
out. So he's the guy that kind of makes that defense happen. And I think Philadelphia is going to get hot, so I'm going to take Philadelphia.
Okay, let me ask you one question. You did pick New Orleans. Right? New Orleans over Cleveland?
All right, man.
I'm going to preface this by saying don't laugh at my pick. I'm trying to catch up. I'm down.
So
I got to take some chances, and I got to go on the list. But I got to catch up. You guys make some great picks. I have some slightly different picks. Some of the picks are going to give everything in me.
Oh, man.
All right. I got to go with Pittsburgh over Baltimore. I don't know if Baltimore can get it together to play. They probably are going to get affected. I just think Pittsburgh is a better team than Baltimore. This is a grudge match. It's a rival game in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. This is one of the games you want to see because they – if you want to see great hitting in the NFL, this is the game to watch. They hate each other, and I love it. All right? So I got to go with Pittsburgh. I got to go with Buffalo over Miami. I don't think Miami could pull it off twice a week. That's why I asked you earlier, will Miami be so hyped up that they finally beat New England that they will forget about Buffalo, and Buffalo comes in with that smash-mouth running game. And the way that guy, Jackson, ran over Conte, pushing him out the way and then running over him. He did score that touchdown. I don't care what they say. They kicked a field goal and won. I just can't see Miami stopping that running game. I don't think New England had much of a running game, so I think that will be the difference in that game. Atlanta over Cincinnati. I got to go with Matty Ice. From what I saw last week against New Orleans, I got to go with Matty Ice against Cincinnati. I think this will be the beginning of the end for the Cincinnati coach in his era of coaching. He's been coaching more than 10 years. I think this will be the beginning of the end. I think they lose a close one to Atlanta. I'm going with New Orleans. I'm not even going to talk about Cleveland. Here's the pick. Here's one of the picks. I know it's against every – my skin is crawling on this pick. So I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
What?
Even though the Cowboys looked hysterical last week, I know that they're getting so much pressure to go into Tennessee. I just don't believe in Tennessee. I think Dallas will do just enough to win that game. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I think Dallas will do just enough to win that game against Tennessee.
Jay, go. I know we're going to lose now. You chose the Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
I'm hurting over that one. I'm going to go with New England over Minnesota. I think Minnesota had a great game last week, but they still have to show me more for me to keep putting bets on them. And I'm pretty sure everybody on the New England team will be looking for Peterson coming out of that backfield, and it'll be keyed on him, and it will force Minnesota to pass the ball. And I'm looking at 2 to 3 turnovers in that game, and New England winning that game as the away team. After what I witnessed and read about with the Giants, until they are basically running a new offense they're not comfortable with, I can't see them beating Arizona, and I think the defense is going to get worn out by Arizona, and I got to go with Arizona winning this one. Here's another one of those picks. I'm going to go with Jacksonville over Washington. I thought Jacksonville played tough against Philly, and I think they'll play tough against Washington. And I don't think Washington will be able to make that comeback like Philly made. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville against Washington. Detroit, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Detroit, but I'm going to go with Carolina on this one. You two ain't right. I want to see if Detroit can play outside of that dome. I really want to see if Detroit can play outside of that dome. Yeah, I'm looking at 8-8. So what? all right, I gotta go with Seattle. I'm going to go with Lovey against St. Louis.
Oh, man.
This may be another pick you laugh at, Kansas City and Denver. I'm going with Denver because they're in Mile High. That's it. That's the only reason.
I thought you said Kansas City. I was like, yeah, I was going to laugh at that one. Then I was going to call you ambulance if you would have chose Kansas City.
I was thinking about it. I was really thinking about it because they can't look as much as worse than they did last week. They can't. They just can't. So I think it'll be a tight game, but Denver will pull it out. All right, Green Bay is going to stop a mud hole in the Jets. So I take Green Bay. They're in Lambeau. They will stop a mud hole in the Jets. Here's another game. I know what I said about Oakland. I know. Go ahead and start laughing. But I'm picking Oakland in an upset over Houston.
I thought you were trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, I am. One of them got to fall.
You must have taken it hard last week, man. You're taking this lesson hard, man.
you gotta
pace yourself, fool. Pace yourself.
I figure half the season, I'll figure it out, and then I'll make that second half run. All right.
Wow.
I am really impressed with the running back Hyde from San Francisco. This guy runs angry. This guy is another Gore coming out the backfield. He runs hard. He runs angry. I look for more film of Conte being run over at that safety position when Hyde gets in the secondary. Got to go with San Francisco. Got to go with the 49ers at home against Chicago. I think Chicago's going to go 0-4. And their season will be done. They should have won the first game. It would have gave them confidence, and it would have at least got them 2-2. But I can't see them winning against San Francisco or New England or maybe even Minnesota at this point. And, Philly and Indianapolis. I think Philly's going to run away with that division. So this is a non-division game, a non-conference game. And so I got to go with Philly. Over Indianapolis. So I will keep track of this, and those are our picks. I got laughed at and humiliated by Icewater and Blackthorn.
It's all love.
You're trying to get it
all back in 1 weekend, man.
Look, this ain't Las Vegas. You better say something to
man.
Yeah, that's why I don't go. I've been. I see, like, Fred Stanford with the suitcase. Coming away all the way back.
Oh, man.
All right. Let me get your eye test on the NCAA football game from last week. What did you see? What were some of the things that were impressive? I'm pretty sure you were at the Ohio State game. Tell us a little bit about that and what you saw.
Well, yeah, I was there. I think, as we said, what we're finding out is they are who we thought they are, who we didn't want to believe they are. And what I mean by that is the fact that I mean, they have talent, and I think I mentioned to you before in the previous shows that they have talent, but it's one thing to be talented, but it's another thing to live up to the potential of your talent.
Uh-huh.
And I think what we found out that they ran into a team that was really solid defensively in Virginia Tech. They had just enough to get things done offensively so they could get that things done that way. But Ohio State simply, like I put together an article, and I wrote it, and I told somebody, I said, you know, the one thing that last year they were used to having that break the glass in case an emergency player.
Uh-huh.
This year that's not available. Braxton Miller is not available. Carlos Hyde, as you mentioned, is doing big things at San Francisco. He's not available. Ryan Shazier, who's starting as a first-year guy in Pittsburgh, is not available. The strong offensive line is not available. That does not mean that they're not talented. They just have not developed a chemistry yet among these guys. And some guys that are used to watching Braxton Miller play need to step up and make it happen. They got four and five-star athletes, but, you know, it's one thing to be hear all of that, those accolades, but we need guys to step up, and that's what they need to do. So that was something there, and I think as time goes on, they'll get better. Will they be a team that's going to vie for national championship? Not sure yet, but we'll see. It doesn't look like it right now, but we'll see. But other than that, I think I told you before about the other thing that really caught my attention was Oregon. You know,
mm-hmm.
Oregon, and I think I mentioned to you about the defense that needed to be a play against Oregon. You need to keep hitting them in the mouth. And Michigan State hit them in the mouth a little bit for a while, and then they let up. And in that third quarter, Oregon's like, this is a wrap. This is a wrap. And they showed them the difference as to why they do what they do. And if you're not careful, they will blow you out, and they will make you look silly, because that's the difference between them and other teams. The other thing I'll just say real quick is the fact that, and this is kind of all Big Ten related right now, but the way that Michigan was like just annihilated by Notre Dame. I mean, I know what I tell you.
Their coaching staff needs to be fired. I'm sorry.
Well, it's close.
I'm sorry.
It's close.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. It's those are things, too. And then, I mean, yeah, some good games. We're trying to figure out what Georgia's going to do. Georgia looks pretty good. But in general, it's still early, so we'll have to see what it plays out. I'm still not, even though the schedule's not that great, I'm not buying into Florida State being as great as we think they are. And it might take to the end of the season for me to find that out. And then again, they might prove me wrong. But I think they're kind of have a swagger right now. Like, we don't really need to be all that great because we're just good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But a very good, solid team might be able to give them at least a run for their money. So we'll see.
Okay. Blackthorn, what were some of the eye tests? What are some of the things you saw the past weekend with the NCAA football that stood out to you?
You know, it's funny because, to me, I know I've probably said this before, I'm looking at Florida State playing, what, Citadel or something like that?
Yeah.
this should be a law that you can't play a team and beat them by that many points. I mean, other than some of the major big schools playing teams that are playing schools they know they can beat down, I did at a Pirate State game. I kind of paid attention to. That was a pretty. I thought it was a pretty good game. Like I would have said, for some reason, I don't think they. I think they're here. I think mentally, that team when they lost their quarterback, they haven't risen above that. I think they just haven't kind of like mentally got confidence enough to think that they can do it without them. So when they get, too, I think when they got tough, they just didn't know where to go. Oregon, yeah. Only thing about Oregon, you see it every year with them, and they flash, they do good, but sometimes when it gets down towards the end of the season, for some reason, the air comes out, not a lot of air, just a little bit of air comes out of that balloon. So that's going to be my question mark about them. They always kind of, you know, get you excited at the beginning of the year, and then towards the end of the year, a little bit of air comes out. So I'm not sure about them yet. I kind of want to wait a couple more weeks because, here again, some of these good schools are playing these other schools that aren't, they shouldn't be in the same field. So it's hard to get really a good measure of what's going on now. But overall, it's pretty good. I would have preferred Michigan, even if they're going to lose to Notre Dame, don't lose like that. I mean, I just because I'm afraid if Notre Dame starts to win a little bit too much, you're going to find them being number one again. And I don't want to see that anymore. I just don't. Because, you know, America's kind of waiting for Notre Dame to come back. They're just sitting around waiting. So I was hoping that Michigan would at least play and fared better. Even if they didn't win, just make it look better. Because you made Notre Dame look like they're much better than what they are. And for all intents and purposes, that's not good. Not good.
Okay. I'm going to bring in Django to get his view on the eye test from last Saturday games in the NCAA. What are some of the things that stood out with you with the football game in college football last weekend, DeJanko?
Sorry. All right, so first of all, let me just say, what's going on, brothers?
How you feeling? How you doing?
What's good?
Everything, man. I'm just trying to keep in between the ditches. I had a work on my wife's ride and get it straight. It was knocked off out there at the track. Nonetheless, so in regards to the games, to answer your question, I thought that, you know, it's kind of early on in the season, and the one thing, the interesting dynamic about college football was that, and I understand why they televised it, and I kind of like the fact they televised some of the games they do, because it's not based on a bunch of, I mean, it is to a certain degree, don't get me wrong, but there's always the climate for an upset when it starts talking about, you know, some of these teams, you know, and so I understand why they show them, or there's some more competitive games than what you anticipated to be, you know, going into it. So I thought last weekend, I mean, the teams, you know, a couple of teams got upset, which, you know, I think that's just the nature of college football, if you ask me. I think it's starting to get a little bit more, talent level starting to get spread out a little bit better the last four or five seasons because, you know, normally it's just been the usual suspects, and it probably still will be that. But at least we're getting a more competitive, you know, we get some more competitive games on the field. And last week wasn't a good example, but I think as you see it, the season start to evolve, you see a little bit more of that. So I thought it would be entertaining, to make a long story short.
I loved the game with USC and Stanford. I thought that was a pivotal game. I also loved watching Oregon come back on Michigan State. They just had three touchdowns within 5 minutes. I thought that was outstanding. I remember tweeting Skip Bayless on First Take, and he was saying that he wasn't impressed with the Oregon's quarterback. And I tweeted him back, look, which game were you watching? This guy was swinging it all over the field and brought his team back. He finally figured out what Michigan State was doing and just brought his team back. So I don't know what game he was watching, but I was really impressed with the Oregon's quarterback coming in. And I'll say this again, Michigan should fire their coaching staff. That is pitiful. Pitiful. Against Notre Dame, your rival. You're not going to play them again, and God knows when, and you come out there like that. You need to be, all of them need to be fired. They were standing there like they couldn't believe they were playing a football game. I couldn't, I was outdone on national TV. on national TV.
Let me ask you a question. So you're saying is, I mean, you're kind of beating around the bush. You're being real subtle about it. So how do you feel about the focus stat?
If I had a Mack truck, I would line them up.
We'd
hit them all together, one by one.
I mean,
run them off the road. What do you get paid for? To look like that? We could coach that team, and they would do better than that. Come on, man. So Morgan was so impressive last Saturday that they overjumped Alabama in the poll. Ohio State dropped to number 22 in the poll. Virginia Tech jumped up to 17 in the poll. And this is going to be interesting. Those four teams that they have for the playoffs right now is very early. But I'm looking at some of the marquee matches that are coming up this week. They're not very many, but there's some interesting matches that I'll be interested in seeing. Is Georgia and South Carolina. And that should be a good game, an SEC game. I want to see that. I got a chance to take a glimpse at Ole Miss. I see what the pollsters are saying about Ole Miss. That could be some trouble for Alabama. Here's why. Ole Miss runs a no-huddle offense, and that gives Alabama problems. So I can see them giving Alabama problems.
You see them beating Alabama?
I don't know about beating Alabama, but I know watching them, it's going to give Alabama problems. You never know. A turnover here, turnover there could be an upset. We'll see. Okay? Of course, this Notre Dame, is they're pushing them up the ranks. Now, we said this was going to happen. Notre Dame wins, and they give a goose egg to Michigan. They're ranked number 11. So they're slowly but surely pushing them up into that top four. They play
there
for
you.
Here we go. Oklahoma against Tennessee, that should be a good game. UCLA and Texas, that should be a good game. So UCLA is ranked number 12, and Texas is not ranked as of yet. Oklahoma is still holding on to number 4. So SC is holding on to number 9. That should be interesting if SC is still ranked. Does SC play Notre Dame this year? They should play Notre Dame this year. It should be the last year that they play them before the changes. But if they're still ranked closely together, I think that will be a pivotal game. LSU has moved up to number 10. So the college football is heating up. So I'm very interested in seeing how things will go. All right, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks. And Bruce Levinson, who made some comments that got him in hot water. We'll be right back on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show.
We just talk about practice. We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for.
I heard those who can't see. Well, fuck it, I guess class is missed. I can't teach you shit. I've been doing this for years, man. My rep is legit. It's like a mic is a cancer stick. I can't quit, but I can kick. That measuring stick to let you know real quick whether you can or can't spit. And from the sound of it, you on a stage is like a square on a triangle. Hold it, don't fit. I mean, the whole way you trying to hold the mic. I ain't trying to be a smart aleck, but you sound like a dick. It shouldn't be so phallic. You want to be hard, but you can't come correct. I'd have showed you how it's done if you showed some respect. Instead, what you doing is showing you new in this. Why you pursuing the skill trade? You're trying to get paid and laid before the groupies in the guap, man. The fact is, it takes practice.
We talking about practice.
Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. I see some of you are calling in. You can call in and listen to the show while we're on the air at 914-219-0880. You can catch us on Twitter at the Goon Squad Sports. And you can catch us on Facebook at the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We got Puma, we got Ice Water, we got Black Thor, we got Django because the D ain't silent. Let me go to, I haven't heard from Django in a long time. I know you heard about the story about the Atlanta Hawks owner, and he is now selling his portion of the team. What's your thoughts on this, man?
I really, you know, to be honest with you, and I'm catching up on that, and I was reading it here. Again, I heard about it, but I'm getting more details now. And I tell you, I don't know, man. This is kind of a funny situation right here for me. I don't know what to make of this right here. I really don't.
So when you say funny situation, is it something that people should be alarmed? My thing is that if private conversations are now, you know, on the table, who among us wouldn't get in trouble?
Well, that's the whole thing, man. I mean, now things are starting to get, I mean, this level of exposure when it comes to, and it's just hard right now to try to draw, they need to start, try to draw a line between, you know, what's appropriate to be, you know, held accountable for. You know what I'm saying? You know, this goes all back to what the owner said to his lady, you know, in regards to the Clippers, and all this stuff starts there. You know, it's crazy right now. It really is. You know, it used to be, you know, well, he said in the privacy of his home, or he said that, you know, one-on-one discussion with such and such. But now with all this, you know, exposure and media, it's just crazy right now. It's scary, and you are right. Who among us would not be in trouble for some of this stuff? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's crazy. It really is.
Okay.
It's been crazy. The stuff that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay. I swear, what do you think about this story? I know it broke yesterday or the day before. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I just think that people covering their own bases, because maybe perhaps knowing what happened went down with Donald Sterling with the Clippers, and knowing that, you know, things could come out, and he's trying to beat the media to the punch, because that's what the biggest thing has been going around like that in that regard. That's been so highly covered in the media that once he probably received a little notice that somebody could get wind of this, along with what Danny Ferry said about Luol Deng, what the whole report came down about anyway, saying that they thought he was a little bit just too African, because of the, which is kind of crazy from the standpoint of, I mean, selling tickets. If he can play, he can play. I mean, but with that standpoint, I think that they kind of saw that, hey, we might be in trouble because this might have leaked out, so they're trying to cover bases right now. So he's like, you know what, I don't want to go through what Donald Sterling went through. I'm out of here. It's not that big a deal, because he just don't want to deal with it. So this is one way to run from it and remove yourself, and instead of having to deal with the issues that Donald Sterling's still dealing with right now. So I think that's how part of that went, and why he kind of put it out front and said, okay, I'm gone. I'm out.
And just to chime in on that, just piggyback on that. Yeah, the thing I noticed is the owners are not happy with. They were starting to realize that times have changed. The things they used to get away with, they're not able to get away with anymore. I mean, just anybody who represents that generation, that profile, the older generation, they're starting to feel uneasy about, you know what, I'm out of here. It's too much stuff that's left, you know, that's exposed and left under scrutiny, and there's too many things that you're being called on the carpet for, which normally you normally get swept under the rug. So I'm out of here. I agree with you. I think that's what he's doing, too. Damage control.
All right. Black Thor, your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, this is interesting. I agree with the fact. I think he's trying to get out before it gets hot. But to me, I look at the situation. I look at Danny Ferry, and I think that's the route we should be called on the carpet, man. I mean, what Homeboy said in general, from what I read about what the owner said, he was taking things in a business sense. He was kind of really trying to fatten business. And I don't think he really meant that hardcore racial stuff. But with Danny, if you really read what Danny Sterry said, that right there, to me, he's getting a big-time pass. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. As a player for Atlanta Hawks, I would not really want to be playing for him as a general manager. Not to mention, he has done nothing as a general manager in the NBA since he's been a general manager. Thanks to his father giving him the job anyway. But to me, that's where the focus should be going. I mean, what homeboy sent his email about, you know, he wants to get white suburban people to come to the game. I mean, he could have phrased that a little different and maybe, you know, handled it a little bit different. But from Vince's perspective, I can understand what he was trying to say, what he was trying to achieve. But I think Danny Ferry is getting a pass here. When you talk about he has a little African in him, and I don't mean that in a bad way. What do you mean it? I mean, really. I'm sorry, as a general manager of a basketball team, I'm sure it's probably 80% or 90% black, and they got plenty of African in them. What are you really saying? Seriously.
Yeah.
But I find that to be more appalling, and that's why I think that's the story right there. But but here again, I think the owner thought he's going to catch a lot of flack for his email. So he said, before my name gets smattered through the mud and everything else, let me get on out of here. So I agree with that too. But I'm hoping that Danny Ferry gets some serious heat. Don't let him walk away from this.
I think the feeling is that they want Danny Ferry to resign, but he is saying that he doesn't want to resign. Should he resign over his part in this whole controversy?
He should just be fired based on the job he's done with the Atlanta Hawks. Think about it, man. I mean, nobody says this. In my opinion, and I'm sorry if I jumped in kind of quick, but he was the general manager of Cleveland when they were trying to get somebody playing with LeBron. Now, think about it. You should not have a hard time getting anybody to come to Cleveland and play with LeBron. And think about the phrase he brought to Cleveland. And he leaves that franchise and finds his way to Atlanta. What does he talk about as he's been there? So the fact he's making these statements, and based on his job performance, please, they should put their foot and kick him out the door. Don't wait for him. He's going to kick him out the door.
You know, I tend to believe, unless he's very radical, I tend to believe the opposite. I think that, you know, I mean, on your job, man, I'd rather know what hand they're playing with than for someone to hide their hand and just behind the scenes just systematically just, you know, create havoc when it comes to racial issues. So I'd rather know up front. Now that I know up front what you're all about and what your perspective is, okay, to me, there's no surprises with that. So I'm kind of on the fence on this one, because if he was something that was just straight up and radical, that's different. Something like Donald Sterling did. But, and like you said, the statement he made, I agree with you. But at the same time, as far as him kicking him out, you just keep him there. Because what's going to happen is he's going to get a job somewhere else. Let's just be real with this. He's profile. He's not going to be just put out of the league. He's going to get a job. So he's going to take that perspective somewhere else. He's going to get paid more money.
So let me ask you this. You want, if you were an NBA player playing for the Atlanta Hawks,
mm-hmm.
you're saying that you, as long as you know where Danny Ferry's, you know, where he is and how he feels, that would be okay with you?
I wouldn't say it would be okay with me. But what I'm saying is, dude, all I'm saying is, think about it, guys, for a minute, though. And I'm just offering this as opposite end of the perspective of the spectrum, because I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, I won't say I'm okay with it, but hell, let's be real. I ain't okay with some of the people I work for now. Let's be real. And some of the people I work for now, I'm pretty sure when they're not around me, I can pretty much tell, dude. I mean, it might be speculation. I can tell somebody's perspective when it comes to, you know, someone of my that suits my fits my profile.
Okay, I see.
So that's what I'm saying. I guess what I'm saying is, if it's not impacting, you know, let's say it's not a straight up Donald Sterling statement. Okay, that's different. But I understand what you're saying. He did say something that was, you know, cheated on that fine line. But I'm saying is, some degree, I'm going, you know what? I'm fine with him, but as long as you don't approach me or step across the line to me directly, we're fine.
Okay.
Because in your workplace, you have that all day.
Okay. I swear, I'm going to let you close this topic out. Anything else in parting shots?
Just real quick. I mean, like I said, I kind of agree with Thor from the standpoint of Danny Ferry hasn't shown me anything as a general manager. Now, I live in Ohio, so I know that pain. I know that pain for the Cavaliers when they traded Ron Harper.
Oh, we're going back to Ron Harper.
No doubt. That's how deep that is, bro. So you see a Danny Ferry coming here saying what he said. I mean, I think he's lucky to have a job, and I think the reason why he has a job, as he said before, is because of his dad. I mean, he's the same guy that didn't want to go play for a certain team, a la the Eli Manning type thing, because he didn't want to play and his dad was going to help him move to another team. You're not that good enough to choose where you want to go. You were not a friend. Anyway, that's personal. But I'll just say this. He said what he said, and he has to realize you're in Atlanta. That's even more more urban than Cleveland. And for him to say what he said, I mean, it's what it is. But like you said, perhaps he was correct. We're correct in talking about the standpoint of him getting another job, and because that's how they do. They recycle with the good old boy network. But he probably will, but he's not deserving because he hasn't done anything. Maybe he'll turn
right.
out something in Atlanta, but that is yet to me to be proven. So the jury's out. He still has his job. He'll apologize and see what happened. I hope Atlanta's better. If not, then it's time for him to get to step and maybe go play in the maybe coach in the NBDL or something. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I'm pretty sure there's more to come with that particular subject. We're in fight week number 2, and Mayweather and Mayorga are going to get it on because they can't get along on Saturday. But an interesting article came out, and Icewater, you alluded to this a few weeks ago, that behind the scenes there is a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight that is being or seems to be in negotiation. So I'm going to leave Icewater last. I want to go to Black Thor. What do you think about, because I know everybody's picking Mayweather to win the fight except me. I'm picking the upset. I think there's going to be upset. I think it's a conspiracy going on here. But, Black Thor, what do you think about this Manny Pacquiao-Mayweather fight in negotiations for it? They're saying $227 million.
You know what? Call me. I will report a fight is about to happen. I believe it. I'm sorry, man. You know, call me an hour before. I'll get my pay-per-view. I'll have my stuff ready, and I'm ready to watch. Because all this talk, and I'm sure this story, there's probably some source or whatever thing. Let me know an hour before the fight, because this has been talked about for too long. I just don't believe it. So I need to see a contract. And I got to give me a date. We get all that straight and give me an hour before the fight. Now I'm ready to watch. Until that, it's not going to pique my interest, my curiosity. I can't jump on that roller coaster anymore. I can't do it. So let me know when they're ready to put the gloves on. They're in the dressing room. They're putting the robe on. They're getting ready to go. Then I'm ready. Until then, I just can't follow it.
I'm with you on that one.
Go ahead,
Django.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I agree with him on that one. I really do. Couldn't say it better.
Okay. So they're saying that this Middle Eastern royalty, they're trying to get the fight in Dubai, and I guess they're putting the money together to try to get this deal done. And this has to be, like, the greatest boxing purse ever. For two boxers to get it on. It's like these folks really want to see this, and they want to see it right now. Icewater, I know we talked about this a few weeks ago. What is your thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, I understand what the other gentleman said about it and what they think about it, because people are tired of it. They wanted to – it is going to happen. They don't want to buy into the hype and everything like that until it really happens. I'm kind of like that too. I mean, I do want to see the fight, but the fact that there might be a potential to talking about it, I won't spend a lot of time on it, and I don't think about it, but I just mentioned that it kind of just makes sense because both of these guys are coming down to the end of their careers, and if you really talk about paydays, then that would be the payday where both of them could fight once or maybe perhaps twice. That's the real payday because now there's nobody out there for either one of them to fight. Is it going to happen? I'm not sure. But the factor is, if they really are about the money and they're talking about what's going on, people still will pay for the fight. So it's still up and down. I mean, I know you mentioned about Madonna beating Floyd this weekend, but I think, you know, I told you before that I think Floyd, he is about the money. It's always been about the money with him, and he wants to keep his legacy. But at the same time, I think that's why you haven't heard a lot from him this last week and a half, because I think he's going to try to, I mean, not to say that Madonna does not have a fighter, a puncher's chance to knock him out, but I think you're going to see a real focused Floyd come in and take care of this business. Because as you mentioned, if this fight does happen, that person is going to be crazy. And Floyd wants that money. You know, so to lose to Madonna would offset that and would mess everything up. He wants that cash. That's what he's – you see the money. You see how he is, what he does, and all that other stuff. So he wants that cash money. So I don't think he wants anybody to stick – get in the way of the possibility of him getting that fight if it does happen. But then again, like they said, until it happens, you know, you can't really get too excited about it. I want to see some negotiations. I want to see them, as they say, put it down and then let me know where it's going to be. Hopefully it's in Vegas because that Dubai thing is cool. But everybody knows the Mecca is Vegas, so hopefully I can go out there and check it out if that's what happens. But until then, I'll sit back on the sideline like these guys and see what happens.
I think if I was Pacquiao, I wouldn't want it to happen in Vegas. I'd want it to happen somewhere outside of the United States to bring Floyd out of his element, to not have him be used to all the things that he's used to when he fights in Las Vegas. I would try to make his life as miserable as possible, get him somewhere. They're talking about Dubai. I think, of course, the time difference changed. Everything changes. He's used to being over there. Mayweather is not. I would not want to fight in the United States. I want it somewhere else where if there was a tycoon, they talk about this oil tycoon, he's willing to put up this money to do it, then, hey, pay me. Show me the money, as they say in the movie. Show me the money. I'll go and fight. But I'd rather have it outside of Las Vegas somewhere. I'd rather even have it in New York if possible, somewhere on the East Coast, somewhere where Floyd is not used to, he can't kind of settle in and drive his car to practice and all that other stuff, to training and all that. I'd rather it happen that way. But we're kind of talking about him looking past this fight and looking towards the next fight, which you should never do. But if this is true, this may be the biggest payday that any two fighters could ever have. I can't remember the purse being this big, $227 million. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know you guys have Mayweather. I'm the only one here that's picking an upset. I hope Mayweather wins, but I don't know about that. Django, we already picked our picks for the NFL, so I'll catch you offline to get those picks. But anything you want to say about what you notice about the NFL? Because I know you're not a Dallas Cowboy fan anymore. I know that.
Yeah,
I got a bunch of memes to send you about Dallas Cowboys and all the stuff, but I can't send them to you anymore because you took all the fun out of it when you said you ain't a Cowboy fan anymore.
Yeah, that's it for me, man. Yeah, you know how to put the water on the grease fire, don't you, man? I'm just telling you, I'm done with them. I mean, the Panthers look real good without Cam. They still played a solid game. I thought that. I was glad to see the Newt Gingrich New England Patriots lose.
Newt Gingrich, what are you talking about?
the regular New England Patriots. I was glad to see them lose. I was pissed off that. That Pittsburgh was able to come back and win. I thought that was a shame. We didn't let that go. That was some bubblegum right there. Oh, man. Man, shoot. That one, I hated that one. I hated that one bad. I was glad to see the Giants lose. I was glad to see that.
I feel like a bunch of hate is coming from you.
Hey, I'm just trying to tell you. That's just how I feel right now. You ask me my opinion. I ain't gonna be subtle like you. I'm coming straight out. I'm telling you.
I'd rather you go back and be a Cowboy fan. At least you're much more happier than you are like this. I can't stand it for you like this.
I'm glad to see the Giants lose because they need to address that situation with the Giants. I'm glad to see Dallas lose because they need to address the situation with the Cowboys. I hope they lose every game this season. Every game. Every game this season I want the Cowboys to lose. I'm glad. I hope New England keeps losing. Can't stand them. Never could. Can't stand them. Can't stand them. Pittsburgh, I think they give Roethlisberger a little bit. He's doing his thing, but I think they give him a little bit. I mean, what else do they have to give? Who else do they have to give credit to? So I guess, But I was about to say, I thought they give Roethlisberger a little bit too much credit, but he's still solid for that team. So, hey, I don't know. Hey.
All right, you just sound quite hostile. You get something to eat. maybe a Snickers bar or something.
You know what's happening, right?
What's that?
I'm eating at your house.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you hungry.
Yeah,
all right.
Because you know you're notorious. Your pedigree is haterade. This is what you do.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do. Okay. All right, we got about 4 minutes. In the show, I'm going to go around and get parting shots for everybody. Go ahead, Black Thor.
You know, it's interesting. I was going to say this because we started off talking about the Ray Rice sister scenario earlier, but I had got an alert earlier today that Jerry Jones is being hit with a sexual assault suit.
Whoa.
I guess when the ladies, it came out about a couple hours ago. Funny, it's because if you think about it, if he gets tied up into something, how is Roger Goodell going to handle that situation?
Yeah. Wow.
That's going to be interesting.
It's a sexual assault situation. You know what I'm trying to smell? Anybody who has some type of gross, has some type of income value or valuable assets or whatever, they're always going to be under scrutiny for that. I just think it's what it is because it's so believable now. It's such viable suspect.
Wow.
Yeah, but I
just think, like, when you think about the money aspect, I mean, you know, people have enough money, they can walk away from things. The average person, the average man or woman cannot walk away from that. And when you have that cash, you can dismiss these things. Even if that means you have $30,000 and so much Percocet in your car, you can walk away and not really have to deal with it. I think that it'll be interesting to see how the rest of these things play out because there are going to be more things coming up. And I want to see how these leagues are going to react to some of the madness that's going on in regards to their players and how they deal with it accordingly. I guarantee you, to watch how the NFL protects that shield from now on, they're going to be very careful because now they already know they're already out there and the worst thing in the world has happened to them. This is going on right at the start of the NFL season, and they don't want anything to take away from people watching football.
And there might not be enough players to play if they just go running through the league with all the stuff that's happening in the league, and the owners and the coaches and this is really bad. All right, Icewater had his shot, parting shot. Django, give me about a couple of minutes of parting shots.
Parting shot. I'd like to give it up to you, Black Puma, because, you know, just the effort and the time you put into, getting the discussion topic together and distributing those and getting all this stuff set up, my hat's off to you because I know it takes a commitment and also takes some due diligence to get it set up every week. So in my parting shot, I commend you for keeping this thing going.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. A nicer, kinder Django. I really appreciate that. I want you back as the mean Django.
Yeah. Yeah. You say, quit
don't give me that butter toast stuff.
Yeah. Put the microphone and stuff on the other. I got you. No more Brokeback Mountain statements then. Okay, you good.
No more Brokeback Mountain speeches. I see you. I feel you. And thank you, man. I appreciate that. Ice Water, parting shot.
I'm interested to see what happens. We're going to get some real issues going on with the NFL. You see some contenders instead of pretenders. Same way with the college football as well. But I really want to see – I'm ready for basketball, man. I'm sorry. I know football just started, but I love hoops. I'm ready to see what's going on with LeBron. I'm ready to see what's going on with the Bulls. I want to see how the Miami Heat are going to deal with this. I'm ready for – because when basketball starts, that means we're in full tilt. Football is kind of coming up around that turning that corner, and basketball starts to kind of – we are where we need to be. We are where we need to be, and now you're just glued to the TV, and I think it's going to really add to what we're already talking about. I will second what you're doing. Appreciate you putting this all together, and I think as we continue to move forward, we'll do nothing but get better, and more people will catch on and we'll find out that, you know, this is a real deal here, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, I appreciate that. I know I'm going back to Black Thor. Any parting shots, Black Thor, before I chime in?
Yeah, I echo what those two gentlemen say, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, man. I commend you. You know, it's interesting. I mean, a parting shot, this might be a parting swing, but, you know, I'm not much into baseball. And it's so funny. I'm looking forward to the day when I can turn on some of these sports channels and I don't have to see anybody playing baseball. Here it is, September 8th or 9th, and they got 20 more games to play in the regular season. You got to be kidding me, man. When they start this season in February, it's time for baseball to be over. Done.
Thank you.
Shut it down,
thank you.
Man. Shut it down.
Thank you.
Yes, playoffs yet, man. Are you kidding me?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, come on to the corner, man. I put some Vaseline on your face, man. See you back out there the next round. But I agree with you on that one, dude.
Yes.
Okay.
Enough is enough.
I mean, how much baseball can you have, man? This is ridiculous.
Yes. Oh.
God,
I don't know how they got to that many games. I know you love baseball. I'm in love with baseball, especially around this time of year when teams are really trying to make that last push to get in the playoffs. But I do agree that it's too long. It's just too long. Do you see that there's any way for them to shave off some of the games, play less games?
No. And the reason why is because of the salary they pay the athletes, they're trying to get a return on investment. And since we're still athletes, it's not a sport that's a bang-up, brutal sport like football. They're trying to get the most games they can get out of those guys and run the season as much as they can for revenue, TV and all that. So I think you'll never see them cut those. So they'll never cut that back, ever.
Okay, do you ever see a time where they say, you know what, we're going to reduce the game? Based on, you know, popularity or lack of popularity.
No, I agree. I think there's too much money out there for them to reduce the games. One of the things I think they're going to try to work on is they've been talking about finding ways of trying to speed the game up and between innings and stuff like that too, because they're going to, as long as there's money out there, and people, believe it or not, are still watching baseball and people still go to baseball games. But I think they're going to try to speed the games up. Would not have so much time in between innings, because they're right. People want to have something that's quick and go along pretty fast. And like football, college football, I mean, the commercials kill me right now, but they're definitely not as long as, it's not as long as baseball. I mean, baseball is like, wow, give me something, please. I'd rather watch the Little League World Series over again, because they're killing me right now. Plus the fact that, let's be real, for me, the fact that they're not more African Americans in the sport kind of deters. I mean, back in the day, I could watch it because, like, oh, I know that guy. Now, I don't know half the guys on the team.
Yeah, that's true. I know I got the Cubs fans that are listening to the show. I'm not really going to say anything more about the Cubs. I've been getting into it with Cubs fans for the last week since the show. They're like, when are you going to talk about the Cubs? I asked them why. So we're not even going to talk about him. But one news note that the Cubs did do, which I saw on the floor of my living room, Cubs raised ticket prices on their tickets for next year. Why? I do not know. So on that note, I'm going to have to leave it right there. Man, it's a pleasure. Sometimes this is the only time we get together and talk. I really do appreciate it, man. I put this show together because I actually love coming out and talking about sports, and I enjoy you guys, man. So it is not work for me at all, man. It's a pleasure coming to talk to you 2 hours. It's an escape for me, and I get to talk junk and listen to you guys talk junk. And sometimes I don't know what the Django is talking about, but I just love hearing it. well, I love you, brother.
If you know what I'm saying.
We will do it again next week. Until that time, listen to our show, rebroadcast this anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Goon Squad. See you next week.
Goodbye to visit.